Welcome to Slay, the podcast where we dive into all aspects of female health and fitness. I'm your host, Louise Hazel, and in today's episode, we're going to discuss how to successfully prepare your body for your wedding day. Whether you're engaged to be married or attending the biggest event of the year, many of us will have felt the pressure to physically transform for a major event. Now, weddings are supposed to be a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence, so the stress and anxiety that you might experience as the big day looms could be extremely overwhelming. So if you're stressing out and need some real guidance as to how to get ready for your big day, then this episode is for you. Joining me this week is photographer and the bride of the decade, Samantha Dutton, who is sharing her experience as we break down how to successfully transform your body for your wedding day. Sam!
Hi!
Yay! Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh,
we've been wanting to do this for a while, haven't we?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. There's so many things to talk about. Like, I think first and foremost, I want to say what a wonderful, wonderful find it is. Like, to be able to work with you on a daily basis. You are literally one of our favorite members of Slay. You're extremely well researched. You have an amazing personality. You're funny. Your transparency and honesty on a daily basis, just about your experiences with fitness, like the things, you know, experiences with friends, all of those things is just completely invaluable. You bring so much value to this space. And I'm really excited to dive in and talk a little bit more about your journey, how we came to meet each other, and, you know, talk about the process of how we got you ready for your big day, which was a year ago now.
A year ago.
Can you believe a year's already been and gone?
No, it's insane. And so much has happened even since
then. I know. Now you're pregnant.
I am pregnant. Oh, 8.5 months.
It's incredible. And so
it's insane.
Now entering this kind of new journey.
Yeah.
You know, about to be a new mum. But let's dial it back a good, gosh, what would it have been, 18, 19 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
You were obviously newly engaged to your partner, Thomas. You're now, what do you call him, your spatchy husband?
Oh, I'm matchy spatchy.
So, Sam, you got engaged to Thomas.
Yes.
What were you feeling at that moment?
At that moment, I was in... In one sense, all of my dreams were coming true. But on the other side, I sort of immediately felt this dread of, oh my gosh, now I actually have to have a wedding, which is something that I have thought about my entire life. And it had always been in my mind. In my mind, the hard part was finding the guy, I guess. And then once I had him, I was like, wait, oh my God, I have to have a wedding, and that means all eyes on me, and it's like you can't really hide in a crowd, or it's not like you're going on a trip with your friends and you just want to feel great. It's like you need to feel great because everyone is looking at you, and it's this most important day of your life. And I instantly became so scared.
Oh.
Yeah, at the happiest moment of my life, but this other thing that had plagued my thoughts for most of my life was just, I knew I was going to have to deal with that.
Mm. Where do you think that fear was coming from? Like, where did it start for you?
I mean, I think a lifetime of body image issues and you know, these, and obviously as a woman, and not every woman thinks this, but I sort of always dreamt of my wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this pinnacle moment, and you imagine that it's everything is perfect on this day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and for me, my greatest struggle, other than finding my husband, was feeling happy in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, there's no hiding. So I think that had always been a thought in my mind.
Mm.
And I also actually don't think that I ever really imagined the day would come. Mm. It's just this dream that you have. But I've felt that way, felt unsure about my body since middle school, I would say.
Was there anything like specifically that you felt, you know, really unhappy about?
Well, it's interesting because it's like, you, of course, you look back at photos of yourself from a time where you know you felt insecure. This is the when I was peak insecure. And you're like, I was fine. Like, I was so normal looking. Like, I, it's so crazy how that is. But I think that I knew that I didn't look like my friends, and I was not big by any means. But it's like little things that happen that reinforce those thoughts in your mind.
Mm.
Like, I remember, and I was thinking about this today, actually, but one of my best friends at the time, she was like, she had this boyfriend, and she was going to set me up with his friend. Mm-hmm. We were going to go on this date. And before the date, she talked to me, and she was like, okay, well, you know that this is probably not going to go anywhere between the two of you. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, why? She was like, well, you're not that skinny, so. And I remember being like, oh, I know, you're right. I said, I know.
What?
Which was like, it's so sad thinking, remembering that. And I feel so sad for myself then.
Yeah. How old were you back then?
I would say that was like 10th grade.
What's this girl's name and where does she live? What's 10th grade? Like 12 years old? What is it? No,
10th grade is like 15.
15, got you.
And I didn't feel mad at her or anything. I was just like, I know. And like that is such a perfect example of like how my brain was working, because I had these insecurities about myself, but I didn't feel like I could stand up for myself or that I should or that I was perfect the way I was. I was just like, oh, we do not look the same. And like, that's why I cannot get a boyfriend. So it's like these little things. And then I think it was my senior year of high school, I was in the musical and there was a character, actually, there were two, me and the same girl were sort of vying for the lead character.
Please
and
tell me you got this lead.
I didn't. Ugh. She had a better voice than I did.
Bitch.
And it was this sort of thing, you were seniors and like you needed a big role and we both were dancers and I was just a better dancer than she was and she was a better singer. And so they gave her the part and the director came up to me and was like, okay, so you can either be, because he knew I didn't want to be like a nothing character. He's like, you can either be the choreographer, like assistant choreographer for the show, aka not be in the show at all, or we're going to write in a role for you that I think was a role in the musical. It was like not in the regular musical, but like the Broadway one, but it was a role that existed, but they were putting it in. They were like, we can write in a role for you for the show, but you're sort of, you need to know that like you're the comedic relief of the show. And I was like, love that. And you're giving me this option over not being in the show at all. They're like, actually the character is too fat. And so the musical was Fame. And the character is too fat and gets kicked out of the Fame school. So they were like, you can either play this character of being too fat, or you cannot be in the musical at all.
What did you do?
Of course, I was like, I will be this character.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't realize at the time was like how much that would hurt me, but it's that same energy of me being like, I know about myself, that didn't stand up for myself or think that it was crazy. But it was like, they didn't ask me to wear a fat suit. And so And my solo song in this musical was, I just got kicked out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm off in the wings and I yell, my line is 145 pounds, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's crazy. And P.S., don't even talk to me about the fact that I've hovered around 145 pounds my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know how that's connected. But, and then I go on stage and I like drop to my knees and there's a spotlight on me. And like the words are, I'm like praying to the Lord to give me a sign. And it says, please help me from eating whatever's in front of me. And then the entire cast of the show does this ensemble number around me, waving snacks in front of my face.
What the?
And the song is like, it is so crazy when I think about it in hindsight. And the song, and I'm just like, my act, like what I'm supposed to be doing is like smelling these snacks, and I'm like, so can't help it. And like, I got kicked out of the school for being too fat. It is horrible.
I feel like this is the name of this podcast is How Not to Treat Women. Like I've in the past, like 20, I'm so shocked. Like my mouth is literally open. I'm just like, what? They did what and what and what? And I'm like,
it's crazy. My parents, when my parents came to the show, they were like, absolutely livid.
I'm not surprised.
So angry. And it wasn't until then which is what's so crazy. It wasn't until I saw it through their eyes where I was like, wait, it's actually not great. And not I remember thinking it in the very beginning when they gave me that ultimatum, essentially. But it was that narrative of like, I think that I probably am too fat. And like, they're not wrong. So like, I guess I should play this character. And so it's those things that sort of reinforce, and especially when you're hearing it from someone else.
It's almost like it's just completely degrading to self-worth, right? So you're being only offered this, do you know what I mean? This is what you're worth, come to accept that that's okay. But the interesting thing I think about, you know, when we think about your journey is, when you arrived here and we met, that wasn't the person I met whatsoever, was it? I feel like perhaps the 18 months before that, I feel like the interesting thing about you is there was a humongous mindset shift for you. And also, you were giving pure main character energy from the moment you walked into the door. I want to know how you went from, you know, from that to main character. Like, how important, you know, was it for you to be in shape still for your wedding day?
Well, I think the beauty of when I met you was that I had just finished all of the mental, emotional work. And
what was that work?
You know, I spent a majority of my life just trying to be skinny. And so everything that entails, whether it's in college buying diet pills online or doing any diet you can think of or any quick fix that was pitched, I tried. And especially in college, and you're doing all these things, and I was eating only grilled chicken and working out but drinking a lot. And I tried every avenue. And I truly exhausted everything. And so you reach this point where you have to try something different. And I realized that it wasn't that I wanted to be skinny or needed to be skinny. It was that I was missing that emotional and that connection to my body. And the thing that pissed me off the most, too, is people are like, love yourself and everything will be great. And like, do you, and then you'll have a boyfriend. And it's like, no, you can't just do that. And that was a huge struggle, because there's so many things that people who don't know what it's like to be in that position can just say to you, or just don't care. And then like, you'll lose weight, or, you know, because it was always this constant battle of like, I really want to meet my person. And I also really, really, really want to be skinny. But if I'm really skinny, then I'll probably meet my person. And so those two things were always hand in hand for me. But at times they were either or, because if I met my person, I didn't, and I actually even said this in my vows, but I so badly wanted to meet my person because I thought that they, and I knew that they could love me in ways that I couldn't love myself. And so I wanted this solution to do the work for me.
Right.
Or if I got here, then I would be whole, and then I would have my pick of whatever guy I wanted. And so,
how did it really happen for you?
What really happened was I exhausted everything. Anything money could buy, I did. And I didn't feel different. And so I even got skinnier. I got to the weight that I wanted doing this crazy cleanse, but I didn't feel great in my body. And so I...
How did you feel?
Actually, I didn't like how I looked, actually, is what I mean. And I sort of did that in the midst of this like spiritual journey that I was on. But I sort of, this was kickstarted by, I went to this place in emotional wellness retreat in Nashville called Onsite. And I was lucky enough to go because we know the owner, and he wanted a group of our friends to go to show that this experience is not just for people who struggle or who are addicts or anything like that. It's for everyone.
Right.
And so we went, and you know me, I pride myself on being in such an open book, and I'm like, I love this experience, and I have nothing to hide. And cut to, and I was like, and I'm fine. I don't need any of this. Cut to me like weeping in the room, telling the freaking High School Musical story. Just like, I still think about this. That's so crazy.
Yeah. And it's traumatic.
Yeah. And you go through all these things and you realize how much those experiences affect your sense of self and the narrative that's reinforced in your mind. And so I left there being like so cracked open. And so from there, and almost like my anxiety was higher because I had weirdly like insulated myself in this like belief that I was fine and everything's great and I can do all these things and not overextend myself. And suddenly I came back and I had lots of anxiety. I didn't want to do a lot of the things that I normally would do.
Like what?
Well, just people ask you to do things. And I'm like, sure, sure. Like there's nothing can penetrate me. And I was just like suddenly so exposed. And so then I like set on this thing of, I did neurofeedback training. I started working with a coach, like a life coach who was so incredible in this entire process. And I was reading books on spirituality and I was going to psychics and all these things. But even going to psychics just from trying to like, is this real? This type of spiritual journey. So I went to every psychic I could hear of and I tried to like cross-analyze the data and did they say the same things and all this stuff.
Sam always researching.
And I got so into funny. A phase of really trying to understand like how science, you know, and spirituality and that magic of that, how I could make sense of it through science. And so I just went through every sort of belief system and all these things for myself. And I think the one culminated in this, I went to this advanced neurofeedback training in Canada called BioCybernaut Institute, which is so extreme. And like,
I feel like they put probes on your head.
They absolutely did.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Completely down our hair. I went with my friend Sophia.
What did they find out?
The cool thing about that is you have all these probes on your head, and so they're reading every part of your brain and the brainwaves that are coming from it, whether it's alpha. Alpha brainwaves are associated with being, like, in the zone. You're, like, peak creativity. You're not stressed. You're just, like, in the zone. Beta is stress. Theta is sort of a dream state. Magical things happen in this brain state. Like healers are like when they're healing someone, their brain is in doing theta brainwaves, and then delta when you're sleeping. And so you did all these things and you learn how to train your brain to go into an alpha state, essentially.
Yeah.
But you're able to sort of heal traumas that have happened to you through manipulating your brain states and through neurofeedback. So you can...
Where did you typically lie?
Well, so it's really hard to...
Is it like a different percentage or...
No, but it's... You just have to learn how to put your brain into an alpha state. And so once you learn how to go back and forth between the two, you can then think about like a stressful memory. And this was actually the coolest part because... You wrote down every one of the first tools they taught you, and you're in a dark room by yourself just listening to your brainwaves. And you write down every like trauma, every horrible memory of your life. And you sit there and you, and when you're thinking of this memory, your brain is in beta. So, and you can see it on the screen. So it goes in like few minute intervals. So it's like 2 minutes or something thinking about this thing. And then you can see your scores on a screen. And so all of your probes show a different score. And so then you think about this horrible thing that happened to you while you're in beta. And then when you get all of your electrodes in, which is a white color, which is, you don't want that color, you then think about that memory, how you wanted it to go, and how it should have gone.
Hence, and it then all changes to alpha.
Yeah, and so then you do that and you imagine that happening until all of your electrodes are green, which means you're in alpha state. And you keep doing that until they start moving to white, and then you go on to the next memory. But you're literally rewiring your brain around that memory. And it's like your life is different in a day. It's the most extreme thing on earth, and I feel so lucky to have been able to go there. But that was a huge, for me personally, that was a big turning point emotionally, because I think I got 10 years worth of therapy in a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Soph.
No, actually, I found it.
Oh, you did?
I did in my research, but thankfully, Sophia, that's why we're such a great pair, because I do the research and she's able to like,
she's very like action oriented. Yeah, yeah. She's like, okay, she's we're like, doing
I will find this person and we will go.
Yeah, that's which is fabulous.
Perfect. Yeah.
And then was it safe to say that we met not long after that?
Yeah. So that happened. And then I had been working with this coach throughout this entire, it was like a 2-year process. And I even had like a graduation sort of thing. And we did a mushroom journey to sort of like seal in all the things. And I was looking back at my notes of that, that was like, I just wrote on the page, I feel so whole. And I remember during that experience, I was just crying, being like, I've never felt like this. Just in my body, that alone. Because I feel like I always described it as, I feel hollow. Like not connected. Like I'm full of emotion and all of those things, but in terms of like my mind-body connection, I didn't feel it. And the only way I could describe it was hollow. And for the first time emotionally, I felt that connection. And so then I was like ready. I had this graduation. And I was like ready to be in the world. And then it was, that was January 2020.
Oh, so Lord.
I was like, I'm painting the town red and this year is mine. And so.
And the world said no.
Yeah. And so I was feeling good at that time. And I felt like I had finally overcome my sense of self and just connected to myself, which was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Humongous. Humongous achievement.
Yeah, and I met Thomas 2 months later. And it is so funny how that happens, where you're like, I was completely whole for the first time in my life, and then my person comes into my life. And so we had COVID together. And right away we knew that we were going to get married and all these things.
How far in before you knew that you were going to get married to Thomas?
He asked, so the beginning stage, I feel like my brain really got in the way of like.
But you just had all this training.
Totally. Well, and it's one of those things where that helped so much in terms of like feeling connected to myself. But I still was like a long way from loving myself, which is such a different thing. Like I appreciated myself and I felt that I had grown from the person I was. And I felt sad and like so much love for my child self. And I had filled that hollow part, whatever that was, but there was still so much more to go for me. But that was just the necessary first step. That was truly so hard, and the step that I didn't even realize. I was like, I just need to be skinny and then everything will be solved. And this needed to happen first. But when we met, I was so stressed about how, I mean, it was not a normal dating experience because we had our first three dates were FaceTimes, mm-hmm. and then we had a socially distanced date.
Right.
And, you know, you're doing all these things and then you're just like available all the time.
Absolutely.
So there's no like, I'm going to have a night out with my girlfriends, like playing it cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it was like, you're either in the bubble or you're out.
Right. And that really scared me too, because I feel like in a dating situation, you want to feel in control. And that means being like not hanging out every night or like not answering all of their calls or, you know, those things that we do to
Does
shield
it?
Ourselves.
That's not me.
When really?
I'm not a cool dater.
Well, so no. I honestly could have a completely separate podcast on dating when you're insecure.
Oh, I love that.
Because it's such a different thing. And every person who tried to give advice and be like, just be yourself and like, you'll find the right guy, mm-hmm. is someone who's never had a problem dating.
So like, are you just second guessing every single thing? Like, you know, a text message comes in, oh, I need to leave it 30 minutes before I reply. Like, what? Tell me what that's like.
Totally.
'Cause I'm not
you're
cool.
Second guessing, you're spinning your head in circles and you're upside down and you don't know what is right side up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't love yourself in the way that you should,
mm-hmm.
you don't know how you deserve to be treated.
Mm.
And so when you don't know that, it makes everything so unstable. Mm. And so you're second guessing, they should have called me by now if they like me, but I think I really like them and maybe I'll just text. And, you know, it's all the while the element of not knowing how you deserve to be treated is ever present because you put up with so much more.
Mm.
And you make allowances and, you know, you've seen we've all done this where you're like, well, he probably didn't text because of this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's not those. I didn't have anything to like put me upright.
Mm-hmm.
And actually,
you know what, this, I am kind of drawing a lot of parallels from like, you know, your relationship, like, and discovering that self-love. Mm. And that respect and boundaries in relationship sense. And also the parallels to what was going on with your body. Because I kind of felt like in the same way when we came in and you told me from the get-go, I've tried everything. Like, you know, I've got 9 months until my wedding. I've tried it all. This probably won't work. And I was like, huh, what have you tried? And you would tell me, like, I've tried fasting. I've tried boot camps. I've tried this. I've tried that. And I was like, interesting. And I remember like looking you up and down. I'm like, and have you tried like weightlifting? Yeah, I've done a bit of weightlifting. I'm like, okay, cool. And I was like listening to like, to what extent?
Mm.
And also understanding, actually, I'm like, Sam's a really interesting character. She's clearly thrown the whole kitchen sink at this. But I was like, but you're kind of like your barometer for what I think was gonna work for you was over here. So the interesting thing to me is that alignment that you're talking about is almost something that I knew instantly for you was like just slightly askew. Mm-hmm. I'm like, here is a woman who is smart, you know, super intelligent, funny, determined, knows what she wants, yet she's making like crap decisions. And so it almost sounds like, you know, here comes Thomas, a person who is just nothing but a good decision. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's like, you don't know what to do with it.
Totally.
So.
For sure. And that, I think that was
parallels.
That anxiety in the beginning.
Mm.
It's almost like you're sabotaging something that's right for you,
mm-hmm.
because you feel like you don't deserve it.
How did you get over that?
You know, it's like you got to power through, and I really just powered through. And it, because in my mind, I could feel myself sabotaging. And it is that thing of like, anytime my entire life, if someone, the second someone liked me and I knew that they liked me,
mm-hmm.
I immediately hated them.
Oh.
Because I was like, what is so wrong with me? Sorry. I immediately couldn't date them anymore. and dislike them because I was like, what is so wrong with you that you like me? And that's how deep this ran. Mm-hmm. You know, it was every element of my sense of self. And I was never in my entire life felt chosen. Mm-hmm. I wasn't asked to prom. I was asked to prom by my friend who had a girlfriend who didn't go to our school. Mm-hmm. So he needed someone, a friend to go to prom with, mm-hmm. both junior and senior prom. Mm-hmm. And any person I dated, it was always like this tumultuous thing that I felt like I was just, they were just out of my grasp, mm-hmm. sort of thing. But every single time, the second someone reciprocated those feelings, I was like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. something's wrong with you. And so with Thomas, I definitely felt like I was coming from a more stable footing because I had done this self-work, but it was very unsettling. And I felt those anxiety feelings creeping in at the beginning. And it did surprise me how much that anxiety can actually trick us into thinking that those are our feelings. And I had, and I think everything in COVID was accelerated, mm-hmm. or just enhanced.
Yes.
So this was like a day and a half of panic. Mm-hmm. But I could feel in my heart that I wanted to keep seeing him, but I was so stressed. And I told Thomas that. It's like, I'm having a slight panic, but, and somehow that conversation ended in him asking me to be his girlfriend.
Oh,
I was like, you really turned that around for yourself. Actually.
Did you respond in 30 minutes via text, or did you respond immediately?
No, it was an in-person conversation, and we were at a friend's house and we came home and I was like, okay, I have to tell you, I've been having a panic attack. He's like, I could sort of tell because you're literally doing nothing but hanging out with each other. Mm-hmm. And somehow the conversation ended in him asking me to be his girlfriend. Oh. And then, so high school, love it. And so, and then the next morning, we were walking to get smoothies and we talked about who would be in our wedding party. And it was like, I woke up suddenly with zero anxiety. And it was like, and I think that's what I needed, was to get rid of the like inner turmoil, like, does he like me, does he not, that sort of beginning of the relationship stress. And I think for me in that moment, and when you're with the right person it clicks, mm-hmm. but it was like that moment of feeling chosen by someone, and again, when it's the right person, that didn't scare me. And I was just like, and that day, and I journaled the like following days, because what else was I doing during that time but journaling my every emotion. And by 2 days later, I was like, I am so in love with this person, mm-hmm. and I am so scared. I don't know how to say it, but it's actually exploding out of me at every second of the day. And I was so surprised by those emotions. And it is that thing sort of when you know, you know.
Yes.
And if I was single and I was listening to this, I'd be like, okay, I get it. You can, and that's something that you hear, and people told me all the time.
You'll know when it's the right one.
And that is true.
Mm. So knowing that you found your soulmate, your one, your person, that anxiety, right? When you walked straight through the doors here, it was like a new journey and a new challenge had been cracked open. So we had how long until the wedding? And, you know, talk us through your thoughts.
So, interestingly, how I always held these two things together. And I was so happy and felt loved and seen and validated and all of those things. But this other thing that I thought would be solved by meeting my person was not.
Okay.
And that was amplified by the fact that we had a wedding coming. And I think I felt like it was longer than 9 months, but maybe it was like 9 or 10 months. I really was just like, okay, what am I going to do to feel great on this day? And it was Sophia who introduced us. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, a perfect storm of like time and place and what I had been through to get me there, because I really had tried everything and there was no quick fix left. So,
okay, wow.
but you know what I mean? Because when you're in that headspace of, I will do anything to be skinny, mm-hmm. skinny.
So do you think that you knew that you were choosing quick fixes before?
Yes.
So you always knew that you were choosing quick fixes, or do you feel like you didn't know any better?
I had no problem choosing quick fixes.
How? Talk to me about that.
Well, because in my mind at the time, I had tried the fitness eating avenue. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've done a 3-month program where I'm working out twice a day and doing a meal delivery program. Mm-hmm. And any person would think that they would see a result from that.
Mm-hmm. What were you seeing?
Nothing.
What was the nothing that was, happening? What was staying the same?
Of course, you're using a regular scale, uh-huh. which is half of the problem, because I was probably putting on muscle and I didn't realize, mm-hmm. But the scale wasn't going down.
Yeah.
And I think it went down at first.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that it was maybe sort of at the 12-week mark at the end, or maybe a week before the end, I had a weigh-in and the number didn't go down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
And my trainer at the time, and who was a really good friend, was just like, and we were just in the middle of doing exercises and tears were just coming down my face. And I was like, I'm fine, fine. And he was like, I think you need to talk to someone.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God. And it actually, interestingly enough, and that was long, I was 25 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I had normalized all the feelings that I felt about myself or eating or diets. It felt normal mm-hmm. to me. And it was at that moment where I was like, oh, this is not normal.
Mm.
And so, and 12 weeks, like a lot of workout programs or whatever claim 12 weeks is more than enough time to see a result. And,
mm-hmm. I mean, I have so many things to say about that.
But the big thing about that is, I think one of the biggest mental transformations for me was coming to terms with the fact that my body isn't like everybody else's
mm.
and isn't like the people that are closest to me that I compare my body to.
Mm-hmm.
And they all were so skinny and could eat whatever they wanted and mm. didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a chip on my shoulder. I was so mad about that.
Where did that lead you to? Like, what were the offshoots of that?
And so that was the part that actually was what always tripped me up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would do these things and not see a result.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like so upset about that. And I see my friends do these things or barely do anything and are they're so skinny or their perfect body or whatever. And I'd be like, that's it. This is crazy. And that's sort of why I felt that I deserved a quick fix.
Mm. What's the most extreme quick fix you've done?
I've ordered extremely rogue, not okay diet pills online.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, and not just like hydroxycut. It's like, I think it was called clenbuterol.
Oh, clenbuterol is a steroid.
Yeah, I was told was like, this will help you lose weight. Bought that online. Every apple cider vinegar diet, everything like that. I've done some surgical options as well.
Got you. Want to divulge any further? Totally fine
well,
if you
I
don't.
I mean, this was truly 15 years ago.
Yeah.
From a place of like being so unsure and looking for a fix,
mm-hmm.
doing a little liposuction and little mm-hmm. problem areas?
So let's say, so, you know, let's face it, drugs weren't off the menu, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with those kind of procedures and let's say lengths that you went to, what were the physiological and psychological impacts of that? Did you ever feel like you were cheating, for example?
No, because I felt cheated.
Mm.
I felt cheated of a carefree youth, of being able to eat whatever I wanted and like wear a bikini and feel great about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I never had that.
Mm.
And every person around me did.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, everyone's experience is different, but from where I was sitting, everyone else did.
Got you.
And so, and I worked harder than anyone,
mm-hmm.
and never saw a result.
Mm.
And so I didn't think twice about ordering horrific pills online. The effect that it had on my body,
uh-huh.
physically didn't bother me. I'm like,
what were the side effects?
There were none.
Okay.
And like, who even knows if that was the real drug that I ordered? But mm-hmm. like, if it negatively impacted my body health-wise,
yes.
that didn't bother me.
Got you. So there was like complete reckless disregard.
For,
there was no even like concept of, this might harm me. This might not be healthy.
Or I have a little fat pad that I think won't go away in the gym. Mm-hmm. So I will allow you to suck it out. And I'm not thinking of the long-term repercussions of that.
Uh-huh.
And so
the hell did we end up working together then?
because nothing worked. And coming from a place of, I don't even want to say being lucky enough to have funds to do things, but like in a world where you're trying to be skinny and money is no object, those things don't equal each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can throw money at whatever you want. I was like, tried anything,
mm-hmm.
and it still didn't get me to where I wanted to be.
Now tell me about where you wanted to be, your goal for your wedding.
I had reached a breaking point,
mm-hmm.
but I had my person, and I thought that would heal this part of myself that wanted to feel and look great.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't. I mean, sure, I felt so loved, and it's such a different thing then, but it truly came into as I've done everything here, all my cards on the table. What do you got? And I think the difference there is, for the first time in my life, I had a long-term goal.
Mm-hmm.
And
can you remember what that was?
Well, it's not, my normal self would be like, okay, we're going on a trip in 3 months or in a month. And so I need to do everything I can to get skinny for this trip.
Do you remember walking in with a weight goal in mind?
I feel like I've always had, I wanted to be like 130 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
What is even that number? I have no idea. But mm-hmm. I had never, well, interestingly enough, that cleanse that I did
mm-hmm.
got me down to that, or like 134,
mm-hmm.
which was the skinniest I'd been in my adult life.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel,
let's say the lightest that you weighed.
What?
We'll say the lightest that you weighed.
Sorry, yes.
It's all good.
And that, because I wouldn't even say that, skinny is not a word I would use as something to strive for now.
Yeah.
But it's such a descriptor of my goals when I was younger.
Yeah, absolutely.
And before I knew the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I had gotten down to that weight doing this crazy cleanse, and of course it came back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, like I said before, I didn't feel great.
Mm.
I wasn't like wanting to strut around in a bikini or like go shopping. It wasn't that. So
what did you think of the results?
From that, I knew that everything I had lost was muscle.
Mm.
And that really makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so coming in, I don't even think I had a weight goal in mind, because I was so at my wit's end that I was just like, all I want, and I was so scared for the day to come and for me to not feel great and beautiful.
And you looked all of those stunning things. Didn't you? Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, our journey together, because I take 50% of the pride and joy, because I, you know, like, working with you for, you're right, it was longer than 9 months, but working with you for that period of time was an absolute, like, blessing for me. Because as soon as you walked through the doors, I was like, Sam is an athlete. She has this dancing background. She's powerful. She's strong. Yet she's literally been doing the workouts of, like, you know what I mean? Somebody who's got a completely different body type. No wonder this shit isn't working. I was like, this is great. For me, this is like perfect. It's a challenge. And I knew that my job was to get you to understand just how athletic you were, just how strong you were, and also to get you away from the idea, like the pervasive idea of like body weight as being the main thing. And thankfully, we have the in-body machine. And I remember those first kind of like few weeks and, you know, even the first couple of months, we were making very slow progress. But we started, can we talk about your body fat percentage?
Yes.
Because I think it's so important. I think we started our journey after, you know, the holidays at around about 28% body fat. And which is, you know, completely normal, average, not a concern. Most women are like in that bracket. And I was like, cool, I reckon, you know, Sam's definitely got the ability to go sub 24. And I remember within probably about 5 months, 4 or 5 months, we hit that 24 mark. And I was like, cool, okay, let's go a bit, you know, harder. And I knew that I needed to get you results as quickly as possible, because I knew that you were a person that had tried everything and results were obviously extremely important. And I remember you were like, but it's not, and I used to say, look at the numbers, like, you know, focus on the body fat percentage. And it was slowly creeping down. And we did that with a combination of weight training and then obviously nutrition, which you actually brought to the table. So this is like the amazing thing about Sam and why she's like, no, just an amazing human being. Her level of research is unparalleled. So you brought to us the idea of this tracking app called Avatar. And previously, you guys out there who are doing, you know, basic tracking will be using MyFitnessPal. But Sam walks in one day with Avatar Nutrition, which transformed everything for us, didn't it? It meant, you know, that our macronutrients had purpose. We had these, you know, rings that you would close a bit
green
like on
circles.
Exactly. We were just trying to go green every single day. And the beauty of that was the journey kind of became really easy. It was like, okay, this is not hard. Like this is, in the sense of it's simple. It's still going to be really, really hard. And so we basically found out what was working for you in terms of a calorie deficit and training and just stuck to it. But Sam, you stuck to that for 9 months.
Yes.
9 months.
Never underestimate a woman with a wedding on the horizon.
A woman with a goal. Talk to me about how different the training was compared to things you'd done in the past.
So despite what I said in the beginning, I had never done weight training in the way that we do weight training.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is that narrative in the world that you're not supposed to lift heavy, and we're out there doing these like Pilates and arm bounces with body weight and all these things, because that's how you get a lean, womanly figure.
A long, lean physique.
And
I'll rip that apart another day.
But so I, this weightlifting, the idea of weightlifting was actually at that point the one thing I hadn't tried.
Mm-hmm.
And I always knew that I had more of an athletic build.
Mm-hmm.
But again, all I wanted was to be like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else around me had this like super skinny, naturally dainty body. Mind you, they didn't work out. That's just naturally how they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, recognizing that my body was different than everyone else's was such a huge thing. And you have to get over the fact that you're just going to have to work harder than another person. And mm-hmm. that just is what it is.
Absolutely.
And so once I removed that chip from my shoulder, and then especially coming into this experience, being like, oh, I am good at this. And maybe my body is built
very
to
good
do
at this.
This.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a version of weightlifting that suits every body. But, and it was so great to come in and have you, as we're doing it, sort of reveal that to me. And in a way that I hadn't seen. And our sessions were so fun to me because, I mean, it helps that all of that is so interesting to me. And I've spent my entire life trying to crack this code of how to fix my body. And so every single day felt like we were like in the lab, you know, and you were teaching me so much about endurance and power and, you know, what our goals were. And we wanted to lift super heavy and have the reps, and the reps will lower and all these things. And then, so I found that so fun. And we were, and the changes were slow, but the beauty of that, having a long-term goal, aka a wedding in a year, it released the pressure of immediate results. And that was the greatest gift of that entire experience for me, because anything I had tried before, be it a fitness thing or a nutrition thing or whatever, if I didn't see goals immediately or within 2 months, 3 months, I was like, this must not work. And I'm not taking into account the damage that I had done to my body in all of those years of quick fixes. And the stress and just my body didn't trust me, I think. And
I would argue you didn't trust your body.
Both.
But also, like, you know, there was, you know, this lack of knowledge, right? So how could you trust your body if you didn't know what your body needed?
Totally. I felt like my body didn't trust me because of how unstable all of my eating habits and exercise habits and the pills. And I mean, it sounds like I was taking a million pills, but previous diet pills or just not nourishing my body properly.
Yeah.
My body was holding on to fat and everything that was there because it didn't know if it was going to get more food later or not.
Yeah, it was stressed out.
So I didn't take into account those things. And I think for me personally, what I found was stress really does matter.
Yeah.
And so the beauty of the long-term goal was that it pushed me out of the quick fix headspace, and counting macros made sure that my body was getting enough of everything.
Yeah.
And it did take a while, and it makes so much sense that it would be incremental changes.
Yeah.
Because of the damage that I had done to it my whole life. And the stress and the just like negative thoughts and emotions about my body. You know what I mean? And so the beauty of having the wedding as the long-term goal sort of allowed me to trust you more and trust the process.
Yeah.
And ultimately it ended up working.
So it did. And, you know, I think it was very apparent to me, I think within, you know, the first 3 months, that your body composition was changing. And so I think we have this idea, you know, like you were talking about before, of, you know, your body retaining fat because it's stressed. Well, actually, is it stressed or is it just retaining fat because also the muscle mass isn't changing? If the muscle is not getting that level of stimulation, you're not building any more muscle, you're not burning any more calories, so therefore your metabolism is actually slowing down. And so, you know, it became apparent after 3 or 4 months that you were really, you know, on the road to success. Sam, was there a time where you ever wanted to stop?
No.
You couldn't, could you?
No, because the great thing about the one good thing about my journey until now, until that point, mm-hmm. was it built my will and determination to well beyond anything I could have imagined, because I had tried so hard in the past and mm-hmm. stuck to things that were not working for me. Mm-hmm. So if I can stick to something that's absolutely not working for me, mm-hmm. the second I was doing something that felt like it was working, it was so easy to keep going.
Yeah. That was the thing that was really interesting, because I was like, oh, you know, your level of adherence was just through the roof. You know, making sure that you obviously turned up for your, we were doing 3 sessions a week, 3 weightlifting sessions a week. We were doing a little bit of at-home cardio, and we slowly increased that as the day got closer. But also your adherence to your nutritional goals. But then also you had a number of events coming up, weddings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact that you were staying adherent to your nutrition, like throughout that whole process. And I remember there was a day, I think you were out at a wedding in Italy, and your carbohydrates increased, and you came back and you'd lost even more body fat, and you were surprised. And shocked. I'm like, you were absolutely surprised, because there was this idea, I think, that you'd latched onto, that if I increase my carbohydrates, then I'm going to increase my fat mass. But at that point, you built so much muscle mass that your body was like, give me fuel and totally. I will reward you. Now let's talk about those results. Because in January 2022, you got on the InBody. You were 28% body fat, and I think around about 144, 45. Mm-hmm. And I think it was maybe the 2 weeks, wasn't it, before we checked in, or 10 days or so, you dropped your body fat percentage down to 20.3.
That was my weigh-in immediate, my first weigh-in after that wedding in Italy.
Correct. And I think, you know, you were at about 137, was that right?
It was like 135.
135? Yeah. Ow!
I know.
And you, your body composition had completely changed. And when I looked back just a couple of weeks ago on your 1 year anniversary pictures, again, my jaw just hit the floor. I was like, wow, like, we did that. You did that. Mm. Did your results exceed your expectations?
Beyond. I think I never, ever truly believed that I could feel that great in my body. Mm. And it was this thing that I always dreamed of, but never thought I could have or deserved, mm. which is really sad. And for me, always having physically like unsure of myself, you know, and how that plays into your relationships or whatever, you don't think you deserve something great, or you don't deserve to feel mm-hmm. amazing or sure of yourself. And I think the fear of not succeeding with looking my best and feeling my best self and hitting that goal at your wedding, really played into my, it was just such a fear moment, and I just never believed that I could get there. And getting there, I couldn't believe it. And it was so amazing to have that be happening at your wedding.
Talk me about what it felt like to wake up that day and put your dress on.
The whole time, I was just like, and in all of my journal entries and everything, I was just like, I have everything I've ever wanted. Mm. And I'm sure some people don't understand how important it is to feel beautiful. Mm. And I felt beautiful for the first time. And at this moment, that is this pinnacle moment in your life. And I had my person that I've waited my whole life for. And then I also did this thing for me.
And you also had Thomas.
Exactly. I did this thing for me, which was to physically feel my best. And I got to the finish line of this race I had been running my entire life. And I texted you. You were coming to the wedding, and you weren't in Italy yet. But I texted you the day before the wedding, and I was just like, I need to get this out before the wedding chaos begins. But I was just sitting there, and I was in the gym of the hotel doing my morning workout, and I was feeling so thankful for everything that you did to help get me there. Because, like I said, every single day we came in, it was the... like we were in the lab, and I would be like, I read this thing that if we try this and then maybe lower the carbs a little, and it was just, we were going back and forth constantly, or you would text me in the middle of the night being like, okay, I feel like we should do this starting next week. And it was just such a, I loved that so much because, to praise you a little bit, I think that so often these health and fitness figures are like, this is what you do to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so locked in on what their shtick is that, and any person who isn't open to science or new things or whatever, doesn't hold their belief system with an open hand, I don't trust.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is ever changing and everybody is different, and there's a million ways to do this.
Absolutely.
And sure, at the root of it, it is the same.
Mm-hmm. But there's only one way that works for you.
Totally. And mm-hmm. you can refine in a million different ways. And we were refining in the nichest of ways,
mm-hmm.
only because we both find that so interesting.
Absolutely.
And I loved the entire process because it was such an emotional healing.
Mm.
But it really locked in on how much I just loved the science of...
It was a collaboration, wasn't
yes.
it?
But so I'm sitting in the gym having this, like, I've arrived moment.
Mm.
And I'm thinking of you, and I was just, like, feeling so thankful because... And I think I even said in the text, in so many ways, this is so much more important than my wedding.
Mm.
Because this is my relationship with myself.
Mm.
And something I've struggled with since I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And you dedicated so much time to me and those late night texts and all those things that I'm so thankful for, but really got me there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so beautiful to have that feeling on your wedding day when also so many other things are culminating.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, I couldn't have felt happier.
Mm.
And for me, that personal journey of physical self was one of the most important journeys I've ever been on.
Mm.
And I'm so grateful for your
stewardship. I might have a little tear. I might have a little tear. You know, I think for me, I just knew that this was your Olympic Games. And, you know, having been there myself, from, you know, a completely different perspective, I knew how important it was to show up every single day. And I spoke to you briefly, oh my God, I'm choked, about it's one thing to be the athlete and another thing to be the coach. So for me, you were like the perfect athlete in that whole process and made it so much easier. And also challenging as well. Like, I love the fact, like we talked about this collaboration, but also how we were both challenging each other was a beautifully growing moment for me as a trainer as well. So I thank you for bringing all your shit to my door. But yeah, I was just so proud of the way you committed yourself, the way you really just threw the whole kitchen sink at it, but also your faith and your trust in yourself, your trust in me was a humongous, humongous thing to give up. So I'm just like, I was just so proud. I remember like being in Italy and just standing up there, literally crying my eyes out as you walked down the aisle because you looked incredible, but not only looked incredible, felt incredible. And everything was emanating that day, love friendship, family. It was, it truly was the wedding of a decade, but it really, I think, warmed so many people in so many different ways. And I'm very, very thankful to have been part of that moment and that journey with you. Mm. Now, we're going to take the tone down a little bit. I've got a game for us. Well, this is what we're going to close out with. It's called Hot or Not. We do live in Los Angeles, after all. I'm going to list 10 transformative methodologies, and you're going to tell me which ones are your yuck and which ones are your yum. You're going to say hot or not.
Okay.
So I don't want you to think too much about this. I want you to give me first hot or not, and then any comments that you have to add. Okay. Number one, Botox.
Hot.
Love it. Fasting.
You know, it depends on why you're fasting.
I knew this one would get you. Go on, Sal.
If you're fasting to lose weight, not hot.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fasting for cellular renewal,
mm-hmm.
autophagy, as we call it in mm-hmm. the biz. I'm actually like I'm in the biz, but
yes, you are the biz.
We are
yeah.
collectively the biz. Then yes, I think there's a way to do it. However, for women need to be more careful because, of course, men, all of their numbers thrive in mm-hmm. a fasting situation, but women, our numbers can go down mm-hmm. if you're fasting for too long.
Yeah.
And so
there can be other hormonal impacts really on the female body, right?
Right. Exactly. So we're not built to fast in the way that men do.
Mm-hmm.
So that caveat, look at it. If you're intermittent fasting, they say to not do it for more than 12 hours.
Yeah, do your research, ladies.
Yes.
Sam is our research. Okay, we're going to move on real quick.
Okay.
Cardio.
Interesting. Not.
Go
on.
I'm
going to say not because, you know, what's interesting? At the end of our journey,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't doing that much cardio.
No, I really kept it to a limit of 20 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't let you go any further because I knew that actually what it would do would actually have the opposite effect. We wanted to retain muscle mass, but go on.
Totally. And I wasn't doing that much.
Mm-hmm.
And a 20-minute run, which that emotional journey in and of itself is a different conversation because that was such a feeling of accomplishment. But to know that I could just do that because I didn't feel like I could before. But that's such, it turned on its head everything I thought about weight loss because mm-hmm. We're told it's just a calories in, calories out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing all these dance cardio classes and on the elliptical for hours and hours and hours, which is everything I had done before. And it's so funny because truly towards the end, I was doing next to no cardio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, except for the, you know, run here and there. But I wasn't even adhering. I didn't even click into crazy mode towards the end again because I think I felt so great
mm-hmm.
but we weren't like adding cardio sessions at the end.
Yeah, we didn't have to.
No, and
you
it
had arrived
took the emphasis off of cardio overall, which was so amazing and so not what I was used to.
I love that. Number four, weight training.
Hot.
Number five, Pilates.
I'd say hot.
Mm-hmm.
Warm, hot, only because I do think that there's a place for it.
I agree.
And certain body types thrive mm-hmm. in that setting.
Yep.
I don't think I was one of those. I think having a dance background, I thought that I need to do Pilates.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a fine-tuning method of exercising, which I think, in the same way I was talking about before, there's no one way to do things. Mm-hmm. I think weight training is so important to have. But if you want to throw some Pilates in there, that's great.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Number six, yoga.
Hot. Hot yoga. We love hot yoga.
I mean, I love restorative yoga, I have to admit. But this isn't about me. This is about you.
But
what type of yoga
from
do you like?
I think yoga from a strictly stretching mobility standpoint
mm-hmm.
because
I'm with you on that, Sam.
You're doing all this weightlifting and you're building this muscle, but if you're not like stretching
yep.
and
restoring
and
the
then
alignment
building, mm. Stretching and then building, I think you're not optimizing your body in the way that you should
100%.
And I think that we should be doing that more so, as especially as we're getting older
mm-hmm.
to be able to, because I think mobility is the most paramount thing as we age.
Absolutely is. I still want to backbend at 80.
Yeah, exactly.
But for other reasons. Number 7, lipo.
Not hot.
Okay. Number 8, BBLs.
Love.
Hottest. Would you ever consider one? You don't need one.
Oh my God. I was thinking you were doing, there's a BBL face laser that I thought you were talking about.
Oh.
BBLs,
Brazilian
not hot.
Butt lift. Okay, not hot. Cool. Do we feel like they've had their moment? I feel like they've had their moment.
Well, I feel like even the Kardashians are slowly diminishing their bums because they're realizing.
Leaving everybody else with BBLs. Right.
I do think to speak to that and the surgical element of cheating, I think that if you're dealing with your soft tissue in that way, it's not going to end well.
No, it's not.
It's just not.
It's not.
That is very, that's very different than a boob job or a nose job or something that I put that in a different category. Mm-hmm. But if you're removing fat from a place and you're messing up the soft tissue and connective tissue and all these things, it may look good then, but you have no idea.
Give it 30
years.
The
systems you've disrupted under your skin. Mm-hmm. And they say your fat won't come back in that area, but guess what? Your fat comes back somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And your proportions are going to be different. Mm. And you're going to have cellulite in that area. Mm-hmm. And you have to restore blood flow to the area. And your proportions are immediately not what they should be. Mm. And so I implore anyone, and this is just in a world of me trying to find every quick fix imaginable. Mm-hmm. It's not like I did my body head to toe, but I did, you know, a little area that was bothering me. And that, I would say, is the one thing I do regret. Mm-hmm. Because in the long term, and this was 15 years ago, mm-hmm. but I can still see how that part of my body is different than other parts of my body.
Yeah.
And not in a way that really anyone else would see, mm-hmm. but it bothers me because, and especially in this process of now finally found this thing that works for me. Mm. And I worked so hard to get there that I found myself thinking about that decision a lot. And I just wish that I hadn't done that because it would look even better. Not better, but for the first time in such a pure way, got to where I wanted to be. And I wish that every part of myself was pure in that way, I think.
I get that. You know? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm going to throw another one in there. I'm going to swap one out and put another one in. Boob jobs.
Hot. The other side of that coin is something that has, if it's bothered you forever, and you're not going to grow your boobs in the gym.
No, you're not. You could grow pecs, but it's not as appealing.
Totally. And so if that's something you've thought of your entire life and you want to get a boob job, get a boob job. Understand that there are long-term ramifications to having a boob job, and it
Absolutely.
Is risky.
Yeah.
And I think there are so many stories of people who get a boob job and then they're having all these health problems 5 years down the line, mm-hmm. and they're like autoimmune things and things that don't necessarily point to your boobs or the boob job that you had as a reason.
Yeah.
And then people are living with these problems and trying to find these solutions, all to find that they took out their boobs and all of their
problems
issues
went
away.
Absolutely.
So be careful about that, but also if that makes you happy.
Absolutely. And I feel like I'm all here for like corrective surgery and those women who have to, you know, like have to undergo the knife and are recovering from cancer. And these are just
my mom had that.
Yeah. These are just different set of circumstances,
totally.
Aren't they? The final one, actually, I wanted to bring up was number 10, Ozempic.
That is a tough one because...
It's not really. It's either hot or it's not. Or it's warm.
It's warm. I feel like it's still so early in that. I will say Ozempic was the hottest hot in this time that we were working so hard.
Yeah.
And I had friends who were also working towards their wedding who were on Ozempic.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in my life, I felt that the physical health ramifications weren't worth it. Mm. And I actually, for the first time, had something to lose, which was what I had built up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at the hard work I had done up to that point and was so proud of myself and finally felt like I had figured it out and it wasn't worth it to me to throw that out the window.
Amazing.
But, you know, I do think that there's a place for it for people who really do struggle because that is a physiological problem for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I will be very curious to see what the long-term effects are of that.
Same. I feel like, you know, I feel like we've had this conversation so many times here in the gym that we just don't know, do we? It's
right.
So new. It's like the introduction. I feel like also because so many more people are going to be on it. So you've got a range of different subsets, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And therefore there are going to be people with predisposition to this and a predisposition to that. How is it going to affect everybody differently? I think we'll 3 to 5 years have a much better picture of whether that's still a viable and attractive option.
Well, it's like on the one hand, you lose a drastic amount of muscle when you're on it.
Yes, you do.
So you really do have something to lose in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, the risk of that outweighs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, this is a diabetes medication.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the most cutting edge anti-aging drugs are diabetes medications.
Mm.
Or were started out as a diabetes medication, they realized that they had these longevity effects. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's saying that necessarily about Ozempic, but something about normalizing your blood sugar in that way has longevity effects. Again, so the root where it's starting is not necessarily something bad, but the physical act of losing that much weight so quickly is very detrimental to our bodies.
Yeah. And I think also one of the things that we should be taking away from those drugs is, oh, so regulating my blood sugar is beneficial for my health. What are the other options? What are the other ways in which I can do that without having to inject myself on a daily basis? And those, I think, are the questions where, you know, when we're talking about quick fixes, people just aren't asking like the necessary questions or willing to necessarily do the work.
Well, there are two goals that people have.
Yeah.
People either want to be skinny.
Or they want to be.
Or you want to be healthy.
Correct.
And those two things are not the same.
No, absolutely not. I feel like we have that conversation every single day though, don't we?
Well, and it's like trying to perfectly thread the needle of both, you know, and the difference there is time.
Yes.
And the more time you give yourself, the... I don't want to say skinny, but the fitter you can be while being the healthiest.
Yeah. And I also feel more rewarded as well in a funny way.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't. That is the lesson of my life. That it is hard. It is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And just because it's easy for your friend does not mean it's supposed to be easy for you or that you deserve for it to be easy for you. It just, you have the body that you were given. And I would like to say that I love that my journey has brought me here because I'm so regimented and my willpower is level 10.
Yes, it is.
And I have to work hard to feel good physically, but I know that that will reward me down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy about that.
Oh, I love that, Sam. We're going to leave it there. And I just want to say that I'm really excited for your next journey. You know, new mum, we're going to be there in about 6 weeks. I'm so excited to meet him. Oh my God. And, you know, and the journeys that follow. So, Sam, thank you so much for joining us on Slay. You are an amazing inspiration and an amazing human. And this is the point where I'm letting you know that you are the director of research here at Slay. Officially, you've earned that title. Sam will probably be joining us on more Slay podcasts because she is cutting edge. She is at the forefront of all things health and fitness. She's the first person to bring in the new research. She's the first person to give us new information on what is hot and what is not in the world of health and fitness. We're just merely the guinea pigs. Sam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That concludes this episode of Slay. Remember, big events require big timelines. To avoid unnecessary stress, give yourself plenty of lead time before your big day. Stay tuned for more empowering discussions on health and fitness. You can follow me at Louise Hazel on social media, and you can follow Sam at Samantha Dutton. Check out the Slay brand at Slay Athletic. And don't forget to subscribe to the Slay podcast if you haven't done so already on Spotify. Now, you can get all of the tools that we mentioned from today's episode on the Slay app. Download it now from the App Store and join our online community.